You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
Animals impact the lives of people throughout the world in myriad ways. They provide companionship, transportation, muscle for work, and their bodies for food, fiber, along with a host of other products. Keeping them healthy is not only important for their well-being, but also for the people who interact with them, directly or not. A group of dedicated veterinarians, lay public, and companies are making a difference in the world community. One animal, one person at a time. My guest is Dr. Jessica Vogelsang, spokesperson for the World Vets. We'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Petco, where the pets go. Petco, where the pets go.
Pet Life Radio has tail wagging, fur flying, fabulous deals for our listeners from Petco. Get $6 off your order of $60 or more, and up to 40% off the entire Petco site.
That's right.
But that's not all.
Because you're a Pet Life Radio listener, you'll also get free shipping on your order of $49 or more. $6 off, up to 40% off,
and free shipping
from Pet Life Radio and Petco. To get these awesome deals, go to PetcoDeals.com. That's PetcoDeals.com.
Petco, where the pets go.
X-Power is a global brand that offers a complete line of stand dryers, cage dryers, and multiple blasters that cater to both home and professional groomers. Designed to be quiet, lightweight, and powerful, X-Power pet dryers will save you time, energy, and money. The X-Power B2 Pro at Home Dryer is the perfect gift for family and friends. Please check out our specials at ViperPet.com and Amazon.com. For more information, visit xpower.ws or call 855-855-8868.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Vogelsang, thank you so much for being with us today. This is a very interesting group that I'm sad to say I don't know a lot about. Give us a little synopsis. What is World Vets?
Sure. World Vets was founded in 2006 by Dr. Kathy King, who is a veterinarian from Fargo. And she was actually in Mexico, and she was really touched when she was down there by what she saw and the need that they had for veterinary care. So she actually went back to her clinic in Fargo, set out a little coffee can on her reception desk and said, you know, one day I want to start an organization that will send teams of veterinarians to underserved areas internationally and help provide better care for these animals like I'm able to do back home. And from that one little coffee can, she's grown it to this organization that's worked in 36 countries on 6 continents. We did 45 trips last year. I mean, it's amazing what we've accomplished in such a short amount of time.
So these various continents, what countries? It seems as though from reading the information that it's really the developing third world countries that World Vets concentrates on. Is that correct?
It is. We've had field projects in Europe and in other areas, but the focus has really been on third world countries because that's where the need has been the greatest, and you know, we really get the most response for the work that we've been doing. So it's everywhere though. Africa, South America, Central America, it's been amazing.
What are some of the types of projects? Because it looks as though it's not just cats and dogs, but it's literally all the animals that people, as I mentioned in the introduction, interact with and are part of their lives?
Absolutely. So we have different projects depending on the local organizations and what their needs are. So we have the spay-neuter initiatives, which are dog and cat, and we do have programs that focus on livestock, donkey projects, which have been incredible. I did a donkey project earlier this year in Arusha, Tanzania. In addition to the veterinary field projects, we also have a disaster response component where we had teams on the ground in Japan after the tsunami, in Haiti after their devastating earthquake, in Thailand after the flooding. We are focusing on an animal rescue training program that's in development that we're really excited about. And we send teams that collaborate with the Navy on civil, military, humanitarian aid missions. And we also have a surgical training center that opened in Granada, Nicaragua, that works with the community and the local veterinarians. So many, many ways that we serve these communities.
Wow. I mean, the breadth of what you're involved with is absolutely amazing. Some people listening to this, since this is basically a U.S.-based radio show, may be asking, all right, well, this is really very nice. You're going to all these various countries. Why aren't you working here in the United States?
Right. And, you know, I think it's a valid question. And the reason that we focused on the international groups is because that's where there's been the greatest need. And when you assess the situation in the States, there's just so much more access to resources. And we do provide those services here when they're needed. And we have our disaster response component that's able to mobilize very quickly where there's a need. But you don't really have that in other places. It was amazing to me talking to Kathy about the response in Japan. She had someone on the ground there within 72 hours after the tsunami, and she was able to coordinate the shipment of supplies. She found a local group, the Humane Society there, that really needed help and manpower and got this collaborative effort going. And so we work where the need is the greatest, and the focus for World Vets has been on the international component.
You'd mentioned that, and I was reading on your internet site, worldvets.org, that you're involved with the Navy. And I found that interesting that the Navy says, okay, here's a group of civilians that we're going to be taking onto our ships to be involved in aid. And it's not just veterinarians. Tell us a little bit about this project. And I understand there's two ships that you're involved with.
Right. There's two ships, the two different groups, the Pacific Partnership and Continuing Promise. And so these are their Navy ships. You know, they're staffed by the military, but the volunteers on board are civilians. And so in addition to veterinarians, you have MDs, you have dentists, and it's really just meant to be something that will, you know, strengthen our alliances and improve our relationships with people in the rest of the world by being able to bring basically this floating hospital that can serve so many needs in these countries. And what we found with having a veterinary group on board, I think people really tend to try and differentiate veterinary health from human health, but really they're all interrelated. You know, if you look at something like rabies, and in the United States, we think of it as a veterinary issue. There's only about, what, two people a year that die from it. But internationally, it can kill, I think, last year, 70,000 people died from rabies. And so veterinary care is essential not only for the health of the animals, but the health of the humans when you're talking about zoonotic disease. So having these teams work together and not have these sort of individual components where everybody is working together to come up with these educational programs that address the needs of whatever country they happen to be pulling into port at the time has been an incredibly rewarding experience for our volunteers and for the communities that have been served. It's the work that they do there is just mind-boggling.
There's so much coverage of Americans in various countries throughout the United States that sometimes when you're traveling, they say you're Canadian. Don't say that you're an American. America, in some respects, does not have the best reputation. And I know you've gone on several of these projects and missions, what the correct term. Do you find that people accept you well, or do they look at you with, you know, what's your angle? Why are you here? What do you want out of this?
Right. And I think that has been really an integral part of the way World Vets conducts their missions is to make it something that's a collaborative effort with local organizations. So it's not just, oh, we show up, we tell you what to do, and, you know, we do our thing, we take our pictures, and we leave. Whenever there's the opportunity for a new project, one of the World Vets members will go and they will meet with the local organization. I'll give you an example. In Tanzania, it was with the Arusha Society for the Protection of Animals. And so we have a local contact who tells us specifically, these are our needs, this is what we have access to, and this is what we would like for you to provide. And so we tailor each program depending on what those needs are. And it's really important when the group goes over there that they're really thinking about, you know, not what are my goals in this, but what are your goals and how can I help you accomplish that? And I think time and time again, our teams have shown that, and the response that we get is just wonderful. And I think the reason that we continue to be invited back and get such great response is because we involve the community in the decision-making process when we set up those trips.
I'm looking right now online at your site of some of the various field projects, veterinary field projects that have gone on. And you yourself mentioned some of the equine horse projects involving donkeys in Tanzania. Why is it important to treat these animals? We think here in the United States, donkeys, oh, they're kind of cute. You know, they're out in the Southwest, out in, you know, wild, and every once in a while you stop and you take a picture with one, but they're used very differently there. How are they being used? What was your role? What did you do?
Well, in Arusha, when we were working with the donkeys, and there's different parts, even within Tanzania, the donkeys are used in the city as a different way as opposed to out in the field. So we were actually working with the Maasai, which are basically nomadic herdsmen, and the donkeys there are used as beasts of burden. And when you're working with a group that maybe, you know, they just have a very different worldview than you do. And so you have to assess sort of what is the cultural view of these animals. Are they considered worthwhile, you know, just because, or do you need to focus on the fact that if you keep them healthy, they're going to be more effective for you as workers, you know, as your beast of burden, and whatever angle it is that you need to take, you know, that's kind of what you go with. And so with the donkeys, it was a focus on basic preventive care. It was vaccinations. It was deworming. A lot of these animals carry very heavy bottles of water, and there's very simple things you can do to make life easier for them. So if they have ropes on their back that are abrading them, you construct a very, very simple padding using, you know, straw and things that the people have access to. Or you show them how they can construct a harness using rope that they already have on hand, so that they don't need to, you know, walk behind the donkeys beating them with switches. So it kind of, some things that can seem very, very basic, you kind of have to start with that and then kind of go from there. The great thing about these projects, and especially when you're out there, oh my gosh, it was wonderful, is getting to interact with the children. Because I think when you are talking about something like humane education, that's really the key to changing attitudes, is to start with the young ones who are still developing their ideas about their place in the world, the animal's place in the world, and letting them see that this is a beneficial thing to do, and then they'll grow up with that. So it's not really just a one-off deal. You know, this is about long-term goals, long-term projects, and making a long-term difference in the way that people view these animals.
So you're really doing a tremendous amount of education, it sounds like.
We are. And that's sort of one of those side things that come into play. I mean, it's just wonderful to have those opportunities. And that's one of the reasons, you know, we really rely on the local organizations, because they have a very good grasp of what those educational needs are. And so we're really there to kind of help support them in those efforts.
I was reading somewhere recently, and I can't remember where right now, it was another group of veterinarians working with a developing country. And one of the things they had were these horses who were being used as beasts of burden. And the people hadn't even thought, because they have such a rough life themselves, that throughout the day working these animals, periodically you needed to stop to feed the horse or to feed the donkey, and also to give them water. And for you or I, it may seem self-evident, but for them, their tradition was just keep working them throughout the day, and finally at the end of the day, tie them up someplace, you know, give them some water, just let them forage for themselves. On the trips you took, what were some of maybe the most endearing situations that you were involved with?
Some of the most, oh gosh, it's so hard.
So many.
It's really, really hard to pick. When we were in Arusha, the little kids there were just, a lot of them, they had never seen something like a camera. You know, I had a big DSLR with me, and I was just trying to take some photographs. And you just stand there, and you'd hear this giggling, you know, and you'd turn around, and there'd be this little face, and then they'd run away, and they'd hide because they were shy, and you'd come over, and you'd start by kind of showing them a picture. Oh, I just took a picture of your donkey, and then they'd want to see that, and then they'd want a picture of themselves, and they'd make all these faces. And so you start with just that little connection. And once you open that inroad, then they started interacting with you a little more, and maybe they would go back home and talk to their parents and say, hey, you know, there's this group out here, and they're actually, you know, they're pretty cool, and they're saying that maybe they want to help our donkeys. And making that one little ice-breaking moment to actually bring the adults in and get them to open up and entrust us with their animals was just, it was the most amazing feeling. A lot of these areas hadn't seen veterinary care in years. And so you have this group of people just kind of show up and say, hey, bring me your valuable livestock and I'm going to stick them with these needles. And they're looking at us like, you know, who the heck
are
you?
Sure.
Why should I trust you? You know, so it was very much a process. And it's not just about the medical care. It's about building relationships. And that has been what's been incredibly rewarding to me. In Granada, down in Nicaragua, I was there at the end of their first session for their veterinary training program. So this was a group of veterinary students who had been coming down over the summer, and there were also volunteer veterinarians from the States. And the students were learning how to do spays and neuters in this clinic. And then they also had brought in veterinarians from Nicaragua who were not trained in school about how to do spays and neuters. I actually don't have a surgical training program there. So in addition to the veterinary students gaining valuable experience, now you have the local veterinarians who have also learned this incredibly valuable skill. So now you have buy-in, you know, from the local community, and they can go forward, and that helps the community, that helps the veterinarians make themselves more marketable. And walking down the street, it was just the best feelings. People would come running up to Sarah, who was a World Vet veterinarian who was there all summer, and they would show her their dog and give her updates and say, oh my gosh, thank you so much. You know, you saved my dog's life earlier this year, and you know, you guys have been incredible. So to see that difference that was made in this community in just a short amount of time, it brings it all home.
Well, I'm talking right now with Dr. Jessica Vogelsang. She's with World Vets, and we're learning about some of the projects that they're doing, and we're building relationships, one veterinarian, one animal at a time. Well, now we need a relationship with our sponsors. We'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Every pet is unique. Maybe they're gray in the muzzle, yet young at heart. Maybe they're growing out of the puppy stage and into their paws and ears. Or maybe they're just trying to maintain a more girlish figure. At PetSmart, we have the right food for your pet at a great value for you. PetSmart. Be better together.
Go to PetSmartDeal.com and save up to 30% on pawsome gifts for the pets and pet people in your life. Toys, collars, leashes, PetSmart gift cards, treats, and more. Go to PetSmartDeal.com today. PetSmartDeal.com.
I'm not much of a reader, but I do wish I were more well-read.
There are so many great books coming out. I wish I could find a way to keep up. Audible.com makes it easy to stay well informed and catch up on your reading simply by listening. Audiobooks from Audible turn downtime into uptime. You'll be more productive and become well-read.
Now I'm able to catch up on all the great books I've been wanting to read.
With Audible, I feel smarter.
Pet Life Radio listeners, try Audible.com now and get your first 30 days of Audible Listener Gold Membership plan free. And get a free audiobook. Choose from over 100,000 titles. To get this great deal, go to audibledeals.com. That's audibledeals.com.
Hi, everybody. I'm Megan Blake here with my sidekick, Super Smiley, the giant mutt and spokes dog for throwaways. You're listening to Pet Life Radio, and I'd like to tell you about our brand new show, A Super Smiley Adventure. Our show explores adventures with animals. They can be traveling, out in the world trips, or inner journeys where our animals lead us to inspiration and self-discovery, or just plain fun adventures. Join us here on Pet Life Radio on A Super Smiley Adventure. Good boy.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Vogelsang, I keep listening to the passion and excitement in your voice, and I have to admit, I have never done a project like this, and all these questions are going through my mind. Number one, when you're out in the field, I gather that you're going to be living with these local people, so your living conditions may not be a four-star living at the Ritz.
Oh, they're not, but you know, they're not destitute either. You know, there's kind of a balance. You're in a third world country. I think it's important for the organization for people to know that you're going somewhere safe. And so in the planning stages, you know, the team will pick accommodations that are comfortable and safe. And, you know, it's not a vacation, but it's not like you're in a tent either. So we want it to be something that parents would feel comfortable with their, you know, veterinary student child going on one of these trips. So,
and I'd prefer that also, because then you get to really know the people that you're working with. As you're mentioning Sarah, who had been there for a month during the summer, really getting to know the people getting to know her. What fabulous inroads. Besides working with these horses, cats, and dogs, I know also that you're working with livestock and teaching husbandry. That seems like that is so important also, because you're educating that next generation and allowing them to live a better quality of life, their sustenance.
Absolutely. And that's a component that I think has been lacking in a lot of these projects. There's definitely a focus on, you know, spay neuter is high visibility. People love to see that. But when you're talking about something that is really going to help a community for its long-term economic health, safety, you know, the animal husbandry is a big issue, and that's something that World Vets is trying to grow, to really build up that aspect of the work that we do. And we have enough veterinarians in our volunteer network who have background in large animal medicine that we can do a good job of moving that up in our priorities. So we're very, very excited about the opportunities that we have to improve people's lives with that aspect of our work.
World Vets also seems different, that you have a disaster response program, that you were part of the tsunami rescue in Japan, and that you've also been down, I think you said, in Haiti, you were involved there.
Mm-hmm.
That must be so devastating, such a difficult situation. What is World Vets doing to prepare others in third world countries to handle their own disasters? Because when it happens, you need to be on the ground running right now. You just can't wait for somebody to come in.
Right. And I think that was something that, you know, in addition to having the team that can mobilize very quickly, we're working with our community partners to get them trained. We have our disaster response training course that we're developing right now. We have the first one starting in November, and that's actually going to be down in Granada, where we did the veterinary training program. And a lot of the participants are actually going to be some of the students and staff instructors who are there with the veterinary training program. And so being able to have local community members who are trained in disaster responses is going to be invaluable. So now you have this team in Central America that not only can help in their own country, but they'll be able to mobilize effectively to South America. And we'd like to see that expand, you know, all over the place. So that's a very, very exciting component of what we do. And it is, you know, it's so different from your basic preventive care. When you're talking about disaster response, you need to have a completely different mindset about, you know, how do we organize? How do we keep these animals safe? How do we manage spread of disease? So it's an entirely different beast.
And oftentimes veterinarians are being called in not just to help the animals, but also to help people. Is that correct?
It is. And that was, I think, a really big lesson that everybody saw firsthand after Katrina. There's a lot of criticism, I think, in general, you know, veterinarians, why are you spending time helping animals and not helping people? And it's just, you can't, they have to be two separate things when you're talking about disaster response. You know, the people that are trained to rescue people, that needs to be their focus. You need to have a different group that are specially trained for the needs of animals. And not only because it's the right thing to do, but because it's important for disease, you know, disease control in these situations. And as we saw in Katrina, there were people that died because their animals couldn't be evacuated. They refused to leave their side. And so you can't write off the power of that bond. And so having a team that is there to help these beloved companions is an essential component of a fully engaged disaster response program, no matter where you are in the world.
But I believe also that it's a matter of disease control, disease prevention. Veterinarians, and I know I'm tooting my our own horn being veterinarians, but veterinarians truly are the only ones who are trained to take care of animals, people, and the environment. And there is such an interface of veterinary medicine and human medicine. I have some associates who were involved in Haiti also. They were living down there at the time, veterinarian. Mm-hmm. And after the earthquake came, all the local people started coming to them. They didn't have much, but at least they had some medical training that they were able to help the people, help the animals in a very MacGyverish kind of way.
Right. And I think, you know, as you well know, that's part of the mindset of being a veterinarian is thinking on your feet, because there is such a wide disparity in what it is that we need to do. Even in the clinic, there is no standard day. You know, every day is different. And that's one of the thrills and the challenges of being in a third world country, is you've got, you know, maybe five things in your bag. When we were in Arusha, we had, you know, we were out in the middle of nowhere. We drove for about 2 hours into the bush. And we were standing in the middle of the desert, and there was a chute that someone had just randomly built kind of out in the middle of the savannah, and these Maasai would just kind of be wandering by with their donkeys and show up. And so we had whatever.
A chute was a structure in which to put these donkeys, not somebody shot somebody.
Right, right. Thank you, yes. So it's basically a long bit of fencing, and you can put the animals in it. And so one by one, you can go down the line and give them their preventive care. But, you know, we're just kind of standing there out in the middle of nowhere. And so, you know, one of them had an abscess that needed to be drained. So you'd just be going through the back saying, well, I got this, I don't have that, you know, and it's just incredibly gratifying to know that you were able to use what you had at hand to help. And you can't go running back to the clinic. You don't have a portable X-ray machine.
How resourceful can you be?
Right, yeah, that was it.
Well, you've been talking about veterinarians, and we'll make the jump, veterinary technicians. But who else can get involved in these types of projects? Because people listening to this, most of these are pet owners, and they go, wow, this sounds awesome. I'd love to get involved. What can they do?
There's a lot of different ways. And there are openings on most of the trips for assistants who do not need to be trained. The majority of the positions are obviously for veterinarians and veterinary technicians. But we've had people who have no background in that at all that can go on the trips. We have the worldvets.org website, and we have membership that's open to anyone to support our efforts. We encourage everybody to join us on Facebook. It's just facebook.com/worldvets, and help spread the word about what we're doing. Talk to your veterinarian, see if they'd like to volunteer. We have a wish list, and we obviously rely very much on donations. So there are so many different ways that people can get involved, and we are grateful for the support of every single person.
And in 2013, what are some of the missions that World Vets is going to be going on?
Oh, there's so many. We have another donkey project in Arusha that I'm very excited about. There are a couple projects in Ecuador, the spay neuter projects. There is a new one in Granada that they have going, the surgical training. Oh, gosh, they have about 25 of them already on their website, and that's just going through through June. So I think they're on scale for about 55 projects this year, and a few new pilot ones. There's something new every week popping up there, it seems.
And people listening to this may also think, wow, it sounds really very nice, but I've donated money to groups in the past, and I have no idea where this money goes. I'm sure that they're living high in the hog and far below North Dakota right now. But I understand that you really are a top-rated nonprofit group.
Yes, and I think transparency has been very important to this organization. If you go to the worldvets.org website, there's a section there for financials where it's all right there. People can actually click and see exactly what's going on with the group. We have top ratings for our charitable works. And the other thing that I think it's really important for people to know is that when somebody volunteers to go on this trip, they're not reimbursed, they're not paid. They volunteer their time, and in addition to that, they pay their own travel expenses, they pay their airfare, they also pay a trip fee that covers the cost of the accommodations, all those sorts of things. And so none of the donations go to sending a veterinarian on a vacation. You know, they're paying for that themselves. The money specifically goes to the project, to the medications that we're bringing in the supplies. So I'm very, very proud of the way that the organization has structured itself. We have nothing to hide.
A very dedicated group. Well, Dr. Jessica Vogelsang from World Vets Organization, thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate your time and all your effort.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much for having us.
And if people wanted to learn more, what's again the website they can go to?
www.worldvets.org.
Great. Thank you so much today for listening. I'm Dr. Bernadine Cruz. This is the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. Thank you so much. Take care.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.